Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Well, shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. I'm talking to you from New York City. Boy, it is hot here and getting hotter, and but we love it. You can actually toast a bagel on the sidewalk, you know? And so it's exciting to be able to take a few moments and to share with you something from the Word of God. And today we're going to be looking at the book of Romans, particularly chapter 10. And so if you have a Bible, please grab it, open it up, and let's hear the Apostle Paul's heart. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then my dear friend and colleague, Bobby Walter, and I will take us through the text, and we'll continue through the end of the chapter, if we can make it that far, Bobby.
We'll try.
Here we go. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so we're going to stop there and comment a little bit. We're going to do this the old-fashioned Jewish way of doing Bible study. Basically, the text drives what we say. We have no structure for a sermon. We're just going to follow the words and follow the text. And when we get interested in something, we'll talk about it. That's a Jewish sermon. And maybe give a few stories. So, Paul, in writing to the Romans, remember, Paul didn't plant the church. Others planted the church. It is a mixed church of both Jews and Gentiles. And Paul was, I believe, writing to this church for a number of reasons. But one of the reasons was because he was looking for help in fulfilling his ministry, which was to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And so I believe that Paul was trying to get on the same page, literally, with the Roman believers, so that they could help him as he used Rome as a launching pad for his ministry to the pagans, which would have been a very dangerous ministry, actually. I mean, he could have easily become a martyr because of the various tribes that eventually would conquer Rome. So they weren't too friendly to Romans or Jewish people because of their pagan religions. And so Paul has a great heart filled with love and concern for the souls of mankind. And not only did he care about the pagans, the Gentiles, but of course, he deeply cared about his own people, the Jewish people. And I love this about Paul. Though his mandate was to reach Gentiles, he still had a burning desire to see his own Jewish people come to faith in Jesus.
So, yeah. And I think that we see that in his track record. When we follow him throughout the book of Acts, whenever he goes to a new town, a new city, a new region, the first place he goes is to the synagogue to proclaim the gospel to his kinsmen according to the flesh. And then even if he's not received in one town kindly by the Jewish people there, and he wipes his hands and says, I'm going to the Gentiles now, and we see him, you know, in that same city or the same town going to the Gentiles. When he moves on to the next place, he still goes to the Jewish people first. So, yeah, Mitch, I think this is a real important point for us to highlight about Paul and his ministry and his heart and his burden, because it's something that we can connect with today as the body. Yes, we want to reach everybody. We want to get the gospel out to every tribe, nation, and tongue. And Paul, yeah, he wanted to go to the barbarians, as they're called. He wanted to go to Spain at the end of Romans. He mentions his desire to bring the gospel to Spain. But still, his heart, his focus, he has a deep burning desire inside of his heart for his people, for the Jewish people.
And there might be two theological reasons for that, Bobby. One, He wrote in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek, protos." And it doesn't necessarily mean first sequentially, 1, 2, 3, Jews, then Gentiles, and so on. It also could mean a first of priority. Some translations use the word foremost, or above all, or a deep concern. And so Paul understood that God still had a role for the Jewish people to play in the plan of salvation, particularly regarding the second coming, because we know that when the Jewish people turn to Christ, Christ returns. Romans 11:25 through the end of the chapter. Paul wrote Romans 11, he wrote Romans 10, and he wrote Romans 1. And so Paul was consistent in his viewpoint. The other is that Paul wrote in Romans 11:11, "They didn't stumble so as to fall, may it never be, but by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous." Mm. So the Gentiles who love Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, had a mandate to make Jewish people jealous of the Jewish Messiah who lived in their hearts. And so I think that Paul understood that no matter what he was doing, he had to reach his own people because of his own heart, but also for deep theological and biblical reasons, that the Jewish people still had a role to play in the plan of God. And Gentiles had a significant role to play in the plan of God. And part of that plan was reaching Jewish people through making them jealous. And so Paul, I hear him sort of crying out to God. Maybe he had a big day among the Gentiles, seeing a lot of people come to faith. Maybe he laid down on his cot in his tent that he very well would have made. And he was just thinking and praying. And he's writing this to the Roman believers, but I can see him saying it to God, you know, "Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. God, I thank you for all the Gentiles that are coming to faith all throughout Asia Minor. I thank you for all that you've done through my ministry. I thank you for what you've done in Rome. But Lord, don't forget about your own people, the Jewish people." And then in verse 2, he really characterizes the nature of the issue that I think is so critical. "I testify that they have a zeal for God." So the many Jewish people at that time, Pharisees, Sadducees, all sorts of Jewish people who had a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. And here we have a little bit of a twist in the Greek, because it's a compound term, that word knowledge, epinosis. Mm-hmm. Epi meaning full, gnosis meaning knowledge. And so I do believe that what Paul is saying here is that Jewish people can have an incredible zeal for God, but it's not in accordance with full knowledge. And what is full knowledge? Full knowledge would be knowing the one who is the fullness of God in human flesh, and that's Jesus the Messiah.
Yeah, and I think this is another, like, this is such good theology here that answers so many questions that people might have today. Because, you know, I know in my time as a believer, I've encountered people who have been a little bit just uncertain. Like, do we really need to share the gospel with Jewish people? Don't they have a right. covenant with God already?
Exactly.
Yeah, Paul makes it abundantly clear here that we do need to not just share the gospel with Jewish people, we need to be actively praying for their salvation as well, because something is missing. And the big thing that's missing is, Mitch, like you said, that full knowledge, that understanding, that belief, that acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah. So it's like, you know, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the fruit of that. This is what that means for the Jewish people.
You know, Bobby, since we live in Brooklyn, you know, we know a lot of more religious Jewish people.
Yes.
And one of the problems with religious Jewish people is that the culture is pretty insular, and Gentile, particularly Gentile Christians, feel awkward about reaching into that culture and befriending religious Jewish people, when I think that every Christian should befriend at least one religious person, Jewish person. You have so much in common. You love God. They love God. They really do. And they're trying to serve God. They're trying to keep the commandments. and they read the same Bible without the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And so there's just so much to talk about. And so if you meet a religious Jewish person, you know, you can just take what I call the naive Gentile approach. It's so easy. You know, you just go up to them and say, my name is Joe, and I'm a Christian, and I just want you to know, I just love the Jewish scriptures. I just love them. And I learned so much about God through the Jewish scriptures. And I want to thank you for all the Jewish people who have done so much to give us the Word of God. And that poor Orthodox Jew is going to look at you like a deer in the headlights, man. They're going to be afraid that you're going to turn into a rabid anti-Semite, you know, because they're not used to hearing that kind of thing. But you will find out that they will actually be sincerely grateful once they figure out that you're not a threat, but actually you're a friend. Mm-hmm. And in verse 4, we read, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So the Greek word there for end is teleos, which means not just end, but it means direction. It is the ultimate place or the goal where the Torah, the five books of Moses, and the entirety of the Old Testament revelation, where was it headed? It was headed to Jesus.
Yeah.
Points to Jesus. So in him, he's the one who gives, when we have full knowledge of God, we know him. When we understand the Bible in its entirety, we understand that it points to him. And so we understand that the way to have that relationship with God, whose son Jesus is the fulfillment of everything, is to believe. So don't miss that one. So he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so all that you ever need for righteousness to have right standing with God is found in your relationship with him, which comes about through faith in his death and resurrection. And that's the message that Jewish people need to hear. It's the same message that Gentiles need to hear, that he is the one, and in him is all righteousness. Now, here's the question, Bobby, that maybe you can answer. And that is, beginning at verse 9, tell me how someone actually does get saved. Paul answers that here. And then tell me who the messenger is that brings the glorious message of the gospel to people, both to Jews and Gentiles. Those are softballs, Bobby. Right in the
yeah.
Text.
Okay. Well, I'll try not to, you know, strike out.
I'm helping you out here.
Yeah. No. This is wonderful, and I think it, Mitch, it kind of like just follows on what you just said there about this is the message that people need to hear, whether you're Jewish or Gentile. The key word, people need to hear it, right? And this is what Paul begins to unpack. So in verse 9, he's talking about, okay, how does someone get saved? What does that mean? So it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So Paul is basically describing that this confession, this acknowledgement, this realization that Jesus is indeed who he claimed to be, that he is the divine Messiah, he's God in the flesh, and that he died on the cross, and that he rose from the dead. The resurrection is like, the linchpin in our salvation, in our faith. And if we place our faith in our hearts, if we place our faith in the Messiah, and we confess with our mouth that Yeshua, Jesus, is Lord, then we will be saved. So it's an internal transformation that takes place. And honestly, that's in line with what we see in the Old Testament when it comes to the New Covenant, whether it's in Jeremiah 31, where the law is written on our hearts, whether it's Ezekiel 36, where God gives us a new heart and puts his spirit within us, or whether it's Deuteronomy 30, where the Lord describes Israel having their hearts circumcised. This internal transformation, that's where it begins. That's where it really takes place. So Paul goes on, though, in Romans 10, after describing, you know, how we are saved and we confess and we believe, he goes on in verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved.
I mean, I just want to shout hallelujah and say amen, you know? I mean, it's just so wonderful. So Bobby's a Gentile, I'm a Jewish person. And, you know, we were one before we were one in Christ, because we were one in sin.
Right.
And now we're one in the Messiah because we've been saved. But it's very clear, Paul would talk about there's no man, nor woman, nor slave, nor free, and Jew or Gentile. But, you know, he doesn't mean that you're not a Jew or you're not a Gentile. Certainly doesn't mean you're not a man or not a woman. We have a lot of problems these days with people believing those things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there are distinctions. And those of us who have children certainly know that we are definitely not a woman and we are definitely men. And there are distinctions, you know? And you just ask somebody who's a slave today whether or not they're the same as a free man. I mean, you know, people make light of these things. There are true distinctions. Everybody wants everybody to be as equal as everybody else. We are equal. We're equal in sin, and we're equal in salvation. But there are distinctions of person. And Paul concludes in verse 13, which I love, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord. So no matter who you are, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your religious background is, no matter who your parents are, no matter what country you come from, no matter what you were raised to believe, when you put your trust in Jesus the Messiah, you will be saved. And that's a big word. Saved from your sin. Saved from the power of sin in your everyday life that makes you miserable. And saved from the judgment to come. And saved for heaven. I mean, that word saved is a magnificent, all-encompassing word. And so whoever says yes to Jesus, to Yeshua, is going to be saved. And then in verse 14, Paul writes, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And then he quotes from Isaiah chapter 52, where the prophet wrote, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. And so we understand that our role as followers of Jesus the Messiah, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether God's called us to continue working in the United States or to go overseas or to go cross-culturally in the United States or overseas or to reach Jewish people, to reach Gentiles, God has called us to proclaim. And so one of the duties of a Christian is to proclaim the gospel to both Jews and Gentiles, because God has established a way for this to happen. People preach, people hear, people believe, and people are saved. Our responsibility is to proclaim. The responsibility that others have is to hear and to believe. Boy, if I could do that for my unsaved family members, I would do it, Bobby. If I knew how to make that happen. But I'm limited. But God's unlimited. He can work in their lives. I need to be obedient and proclaim. And dear brother and sister, you need to be obedient and proclaim. And as Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade, used to say, leave the results to God.
We are here with Chosen People Ministries, and I'm joined by Anthony Royal. Check this out, right? He holds a PhD in Biblical Studies from the University of Glasgow, and an MA in Theology, and a BTH from the University of Chester. You serve as the principal and lead at King's Evangelical Divinity School, and he's an approved tutor at the University of Chester. Wow. And your last name is Royal.
Yes.
Have we left anything out there?
No, I think that's pretty much everything.
Wow. Well, welcome to London. Why do you think it's important for Christians to support Israel?
Well, I have three very good reasons, actually. First and foremost, God. God supports Israel. He loves Israel. They are his chosen people. It says in his word, I love Jacob. It loves his people, and he's made promises to them forever. The second good reason is because he commands us to. He commands Christians to love Israel and support them and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the third reason is because Israel needs friends, especially in times such as this. So I think those are really good grounds for Christians to support and love the Jewish people in Israel.
And obviously, if working with the University of Chester, you must meet young people all the time who will try to argue that Israel of the Bible is nothing like Israel today and all of that. Yeah. What's your approach to answering that, especially the Christians?
Well, at King's Evangelical Divinity School, we center on biblical interpretation. We're rooted in scripture, and everything that we do in terms of our ministry and our apologetics and guidance for our students is through the Word of God. So we just go to the Word of God and show them, and it's all there.
And do you have many Jewish people who kind of hear about what you're doing? They're not Christians, but they're Jewish and they're interested. They're like, oh, this is a different narrative. This is a different story than what I'm hearing. And what's that relationship like?
Yeah, we have people from all kinds of different backgrounds. We've had lots of people interested who not just Jewish, but Catholic, of different religions as well, who come and approach us, are quite interested in what we're teaching and what we're doing. Our relationship with Jewish people is quite amicable, and they support what we do, particularly our Jewish Christian Studies program. And we're hoping to create more scholarships for Jewish people and Israeli people as well at our school. So we're very much looking forward to that.
That's incredible. So how would people do that? What does that look like?
So you just go to our website, www.kingsdivinity.org, and you'll be able to go on and find all the details on our website regarding scholarships and all our courses and everything that we do.
And is the idea behind it that if they have a scholarship and you eliminate that barrier of being able to having to pay for it?
Well, we're very much passionate about eliminating barriers to studying theology. There's so many barriers today, and we just want to equip people for ministry and doing God's work and reaching their calling for Christ.
Wow, brilliant. Thanks for your time, Anthony.
That's okay. Wow. Thank you very much for having me.
You're listening to The Chosen People, which is produced and sponsored by Chosen People Ministries. In 1894, Rabbi Leopold Cohen began ministering to the Jewish people in Brooklyn, New York. And since those humbling beginnings, this nonprofit ministry has made it our mission to combine God's love with practical on-ground support. And if you'd like to learn more about this ministry or this weekly program, just go online at chosenpeople.com/radio.
And friend, when you reach out, we'll send you a messianic calendar free of charge. This calendar is a great way to stay up to date on all the biblical feast days, the weekly Torah portion readings, readings from the five books of Moses, and what we're doing around the world. So request your free copy this year of our Messianic Jewish calendar. We'll send it to you right away when you call 888-2-YESHUA. That's Y-E-S-H-U-A. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. And once again, the number to call is 888-293-7482.
You can also request the Messianic calendar by going online to chosenpeople.com/radio. Or you can ask for it when you write to us today at Chosen People Ministries, 241 East 51st Street in New York, New York, 10022. That's 241 East 51st Street, New York, New York, 10022. We look forward to hearing from you soon. And now let's close our program with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er pono ve'lecha v'chuneka. Yisa Adonai pono ve'lecha v'yisem lecha shalom. V'yisem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem Shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.